turn to number 54.
Thank you.
soul unworthy, so scarred with sin. But he did not despair. He started over again. And I bless the day he didn't throw the clay away. Over and over, he molds me and makes me into his likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel
tell you what, that was beautiful. Whew. If that didn't light something in you, your wood is wet. Amen. I'll tell you, failure is not final. Failure is not final. Amen. We all have our faults and our failures. Amen. But thank God, because of his forgiveness and his mercy, it's not final. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Amen. Thank God for that. God's good. That song means something to me because of where I come from. Amen. Not Philadelphia per se, but just my past life. Got saved as a young man, got away from the Lord as a teenager, got chastened as a teenager, got right as a teenager. And so it's teen years. Amen. Pray for your teenagers. The temptations become greater, amen, for them. And but thank God that I came back to the Lord and got things right with the Lord. He forgave me, and he's helping me, amen. We still have scars, but we can make it through by his grace, amen. Well, we're going to preach this morning. Would you please turn with me to 1 John chapter number 5, please. 1 John chapter number 5. I'll tell you what, with the song service, I was about ready to just say we ought to come up and close with the invitation. In Sunday school, we started preaching, teaching. I tried to teach, but if the Lord gets in it, amen. talking about the Word of God this morning in Sunday school. And then to find out, I thought, be honest with you, brother, I thought you had instructed him to sing those hymns based on what I've talked to you about preaching. We started on the Word of God this morning in Sunday school, and I told the preacher, I said, I think I'm just going to continue and finish up some things about the Word of God. And when I came up and they're singing about the Bible stands and some other hymns, and I thought maybe the preacher had them sing some hymns because I told him we were going to, and he said, no, sir. He said, man, the Lord orchestrated that, and I'll tell you, and that Never Alone, talking about Paul and how the Lord stood by him, and just, that's what I'm saying. It was like, I almost don't want to ruin things, amen. You ever sense when the Spirit's doing something and you're like, you know, you don't want to ruin it by, you know, getting involved, amen. But nonetheless, we're here and we're praying for God to continue to meet with us. This morning we started preaching and teaching about the Bible, amen, and how valuable the book is, amen. This book right here, I mentioned it earlier, is the most valuable thing that you and I could actually physically hold in our hands in this life. Amen. And we actually started this morning in Sunday school in Psalm 19, speaking about just the Word of God and all that it is, and how it says more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And so we need to value this book. Now in Sunday school this morning, we talked about the value of the Bible and the fact that number one, it's through the Bible that souls are saved. Amen. Through the Bible, souls are saved. And one of the great emphasis is this morning for you and I, as we focus in Sunday school, was to make sure that we are trying to help lost people understand the gospel truth and be saved. Amen. The devil is aggressively trying to keep them lost. There ain't no doubt about it. In fact, he's aggressive about that. In fact, we need to be aggressive, not aggressive in the sense of high pressure trying to get somebody to pray a prayer. You understand what I'm saying? We need to be more thoughtful and more prayerful and more looking for the Lord to open doors. Amen. And for divine appointments. Amen. Lord, lead me to some soul today. I think there's even a hymn that speaks of that. But trying to do what we can where God has us. Amen. And by the way, thinking about the aggressiveness of the devil to keep people lost, I can't help but the sower going forth to sow seeds. We find in the gospel, the sower going forth to sow the Word of God. And one of the texts says that the fowls of the air immediately comes down and begins to pluck up the seed. And then it interprets that and says that the seed is the Word of God, and the fowls are like the devil. When the Word of God is sown out there on hearts, especially when it lands on a heart and that heart don't understand it, they're not saved yet. Immediately, the Bible says, and it uses the word immediately, the devil seeks to pluck that seed up, lest that person get saved. By the way, I believe the devil knows the Bible. I think he probably knows it better than I do. He's been around a long time, right? The devil is not a Calvinist. The devil actually believes he can do something to keep people lost. If the devil was a Calvinist, if he thought there's nothing he could do, why would he seek to aggressively keep the word from reaching people? So what I need to do is I need to combat that and say, well, hold on a minute. If he's going to be aggressive trying to get the word from people, I need to make sure I'm doing what I can to try to sow some seed. Amen. This morning in Sunday school, we focused on the fact that we need the book to be saved. Amen. You can't be saved any other way.
They need the book to be saved, and that's part of our mission. But number two, by the way, let me just say this before I even get to the second point, the main point. We talked about the Word of God being the key to being saved, but let me say this. In 1 John chapter number 5, in verses 11 to 13, the Bible not only helps us to understand how to be saved, but the Bible assures us that we are saved. I'm so glad that I can know for sure that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I don't have to be like some people and say, well, I'll just wait till I get there and then I'll see how things weigh out. No, 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 no. Don't be so foolish as not to reserve a place for you. In fact, in 1 Peter, it says that there's a place reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. Amen. Hey, I have gotten saved and I know there's a place reserved for me. Amen. And I'm assured of that. In fact, if you'll look with me in 1 John chapter number 5, look at verse number 11 to 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And by the way, I'm so glad he didn't give us temporal life, which means we could lose it. He already has given us eternal life. If you're saved, you have been given, I have been given by God, eternal life. We already have it. Amen. He goes on to say in verse number 11, yeah, and this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse number 12, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Verse number 13 is the key verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm so glad the Bible not only helps me to understand how to be saved, but it encourages me and assures me that I am saved. The Spirit in me bears witness that I'm saved. Amen. And he uses the Word of God to do that. Amen. It's not a feeling I get. It's a fact I get from the Word of God. Not only does the Bible assure me that I'm saved, but it assures me I'm saved right now. There are some people that don't believe you can know right now that you're saved. But I'm so glad that right now we can know we're saved. In fact, you're in 1 John. Would you look at chapter 3 for a moment? Would you look at verse number 2? 1 John chapter number 3. Look at verse number 2 if you would. Beloved, what's the next word? Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now are we the sons of God. Thank God we can know we're saved now. Amen. And then another wonderful truth. Not only does the Bible assure me that I'm saved and assure me that I'm saved now, but it assures me that I'm saved forever. I can never be lost, thank God. Amen. And if you're saved, you can never be lost. I think of John chapter number 10 and verses 27 to 30. Jesus said about his sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Amen. Hey, listen, when he gives us eternal life, he gives us eternal life. We can never be lost. We'll always be saved. Hebrews 13:5, we sang it. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I remember speaking to an individual from a Pentecostal background, and they said, well, that doesn't mean he will never leave you. That means as long as you're doing something, living for him, he'll never leave. That's not what it says. That's not a conditional promise. That's a promise right there. Amen. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you're saved, you're saved and saved forever. Amen. And that's a wonderful thing, is it not? But I want to speak primarily this morning on this thought. Number one, in Sunday school, we talked about the value of this book. We can see the value of the Bible because it's through the Bible that souls are saved, that sinners are saved. But number two, I want you to see this. It's through the Bible that God's people, God's saints, are sanctified. God's saints are sanctified. Would you turn with me to the book of John, please? Chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. It is through the Word of God that God's people are sanctified. One of the things I like about preaching in this church is a Bible church. Amen. I love that. I love it. I go to some churches and they people look at you like they have no idea what you're talking about. Amen. That's a sad thing. But I'll tell you what, in churches today, the Bible's been decreasing. You hear too many people. Well, I like to go there for the music. There's a lot of people. I like to go for the drama. I like to go for the music. And the most important thing, which is the Word of God, a lot of people are not interested in. Amen? But I thank God for good churches that are Bible-based. Amen? And that's what this church is. Amen? And that's because you got a Bible preacher. Amen? No doubt about it. In John chapter number 17, listen, it is God's will for God's people to be sanctified. The word sanctified means to be set apart. It's an essence of holiness. Amen? God saves us where we are, but he separates us from where we were and who we were. And he wants us to become more and more what he wants us to be. Amen? And the word of God is the key for God's people to become more and more like God's son. Amen? Would you look with me, please, in John chapter number 17, beginning in verse number 14. John 17, verse number 14. The Bible says this, Jesus speaking, he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. By the way, that's why the world hates God's people, because of the word of God, because of what you believe. Amen? Because you believe contrary to what they believe. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now listen, we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We live in the world, but we don't have to live for the world. We're in the flesh, we don't have to live for the flesh. Amen? Same principle. Look at verse number 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. What the Lord Jesus is doing is praying. But by the way, this is the Lord's prayer technically. Amen? And he's praying for the disciples. He says, I've given them your word, and the world doesn't like them because of your word. But I'm not praying for you to take them out of the world. I'm praying for you to protect them while they're here. Amen? Look at verse number 16, if you would. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now here's what Jesus prayed for the disciples. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at verse number 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. And by the way, in verse number 20 of John 17, he includes us in that prayer. Amen. He says, not only do I pray for you disciples, but I pray for those that are going to believe. That's us, you and I. Amen. Jesus Christ is praying for those of us that are saved. And here's what he's praying. Father, keep them in the world, but keep them from the world. Amen. Help them to be the kind of people in this world that are like me, that'll glorify me, that'll not adapt to the world. Amen. You and I, as God's people, are in this world, but we're not to live like it. Amen? Because if you and I, as saved people, live like this world, we'll look no different than anybody else. Amen? The Word of God is the key. I want you to get this. You don't have to turn there, but jot it down if you would, if you take notes. Acts 20, verse number 32. Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders, he said, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and also give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. The Word of God is what's going to help you and I to become more holy. To become more separated from the wrong and separated to the right. Amen. By the way, that's what it's all about. God is trying to get you and I more and more away from ourselves and more into him. I think of what John the Baptist said. He must increase, I must decrease. I believe in the context that's got to do with ministry. See, John the Baptist was a little night light, if you will. But when the great light came, his light kind of went out. His ministry was over. He was to point them to Jesus. Jesus was the one they were to follow. But the essence of it is, in reality, by way of application, you and I that are saved, we must decrease and he must increase in our lives. Amen? And that's what sanctification is all about. Through the word of God, when you think of sanctification, you often think about the thought of being clean. And here's what the Bible says. It's through the Bible that we are cleansed. How can I, by the way, when I got saved or when I got right with the Lord, I told you I got saved as a young man and I got sucked into the world as a teenager. And this world is filthy, by the way. Can I get a witness on that one? This is a dirty world. In fact, you don't even have to go anywhere. The dust of the world will get on you. Amen. That's why when Moses started to walk toward the burning bush, you remember what the Lord told him? Amen. The Lord said, don't come no further. take off your shoes. Why? For the place whereon you stand is holy ground. Moses was walking through the world, if you will, and he wore sandals. And the dust and the dirt from the sandals would get naturally on his feet. And he was not to bring the filth of the world into the presence of God. Even Joshua was told that. Don't come no further. Take off your shoes. You see, it was a custom at that time they would take their shoes off and clean their feet before entering into people's homes, that they don't defile the place where they're going. You and I just simply walking through this world are picking up dust, whether we like it or not. Amen. In fact, some of us, you know, well, every one of us ought to know that. Just, you got to dust the house. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, you and I as Christians have a battle in this world. Just the devil and what's going on, the filthiness of everything is just permeating and it's been destroying many Christians' lives. Amen. Many people, many homes are being wrecked and ruined by sin and everything going on in this world. You and I are to go through this world. I think of what the scripture says. I believe in Peter that as pilgrims and strangers, we are to go through this world and not to succumb to the world. Amen. That's what we're to do. The word of God is the key to help you and I to get clean. Psalm 119, verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. This book has the power to cleanse a life. It took my life, and at the time that I got right with God, I was coming off of all kinds of sin. I don't say that to glorify anything, but to give praise to God. Amen? Coming off of all kinds of wickedness and sin. Stealing cars, stealing motorcycles. I was an alcoholic at the age of 17 years old. My grandfather was an alcoholic. My father was an alcoholic. Smoking cigarettes, smoking marijuana. As a teenager, I came from a lot of sin and a lot of filth when I came back to the Lord. And the thing that took me from where I was to where I am is this book right here. This book right here has the power to cleanse a life. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what we did. This book right here cleanses us from what we are. Amen? This book has the power. Amen? In fact, I want you to know John 15:3. Here's what Jesus said to the disciples. Now are you clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. In the book of Ephesians, and I think you still going through Ephesians in Sunday school. Ephesians chapter number 5, if you'll turn there for a moment, please. Ephesians chapter number 5. I'm just saying, listen, this book right here has the power to make you and I what we could never make ourselves on our own. Amen? I'm not talking about reformation. I'm talking about transformation. Amen. You know, a lot of people can reform. Reform's got to do with what you do on the outside. You can stop doing this and stop wearing this, and you can reform yourself, but only the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, can do a transforming work on the inside. Amen? And that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to transform us from what we were to what we ought to be. Amen? And some of us, that transformation is maybe much more drastic than others, but we all need to be changed, amen? In fact, Ephesians, if you would, chapter number 5. I want you to note, if you would, look at verse number 25, Ephesians chapter 5. And by the way, you know the book of Ephesians, you're going through it. This got to do with the church. This is about the church. In fact, that's exactly what the church does. It throws a shower every service. Can I get a witness on that? It's a spiritual shower. Every service, the Spirit of God uses the man of God to shower and to throw out the water of the Word of God to help us to get cleaned up spiritually. Amen? By the way, we all have to get baths or showers. Is that correct? Yes, we do. Amen. If we're going to look good and smell good and so on, we better get clean. Amen. Some people need to make sure they get a good spiritual shower. Amen. Through this book right here. Look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Look at verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives. As even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse number 26. That he might sanctify and what? Cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. The word of God is taken by the Spirit of God. And God works on our hearts to clean us up. Clean us up. Amen. I don't think that there would be anybody here this morning that would think, I don't need to be clean. If Paul the Apostle who I think was probably one of the best Christians that ever walked the face of this earth. If Paul the Apostle had room for improvement, I believe we all do. I don't think anybody could in this room stand up and say, I'm everything God wants me to be and I don't need his help. If that were the case, you probably wouldn't be here. We all need it, and that's exactly what it's all about. God uses the Word of God to get to our heart and to change our lives. Amen? I want you to note some things. Not only is it through the Bible we're cleansed, but let me give you this thought. It's through the Bible we're changed. Look at, or actually listen, you don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2. In fact, let me quote verse number 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present or you give or yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Matter of fact, that's a message in and of itself. Not everything we give to God is acceptable. He wants clean servants, amen? And he says, be not conformed to this world. Why in the world would God, through Paul the Apostle, tell them at that time and us today not to be conformed to this world? Because it's a temptation and a tendency. Amen? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed. Totally changed. Metamorphosis. Amen? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. A new mind equals a changed life. Amen? And this is exactly what it's all about. The Word of God by the Spirit of God goes through our eyes, goes through our ears, goes through our minds, but it's got to reach the heart. It's the heart where the buttons are pushed and our lives are changed. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're in Ephesians, right? I want you to turn to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. By the way, I've been changed a lot. I've been changed a lot. Just a few mentions earlier that I said, and I wouldn't even begin to tell you everything, and thank God I don't have to, amen? From where I was to where I am, I've been changed a lot. Let me put it this way. I've seen a lot of deliverances in my life, but there's a lot more to go. There's a lot more to go. Every one of us may have been changed in great measure, but we got a lot more to go, amen? If the only time you're not going to have a lot more to go is when you're there. Because there you'll be totally changed completely, amen? You'll be like him, you'll see him as he is. But in this life, we all still carry flesh. We all still carry our sinful nature, amen? And therefore, we need to constantly be more and more like Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to get to our hearts and to deal with our hearts and to help us to change our life for his glory, amen? And for his good. I want you to note Ephesians chapter number 4. Are you still in chapter 4? Last time I was here, you were in chapter 4. Amen. But I want you to note this. Look at chapter number 4, verse number 22 to 24. Look at verse number 22. Here's what Paul says. And he's speaking about sanctification. He's speaking about transformation, right? That you put off, like clothing, put off concerning the former conversation, the old lifestyle, the old man. Amen. Which is what? Corrupt according to deceitful lust. In this book, he's saying, hey, you church, hey, you saved people, put off your old self. Put off the miserable. Put off the angry. Put off the you understand what I'm saying? Put off what you used to be is what he's saying, right? Now look at verse 24. And that you what? Put on the new man. What's the new man like? Well, here's what it says. Which after God is created in righteousness and what? True holiness. This is the mission for every Christian. After we get saved, God begins to work in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? I want to speak like I used to spoke. I want to act like I used to act. But God deals with my heart through his word, and I realize this is not God's will. This is not right. I need to be more like Jesus. I need to be more Christ-like. I got to put off what I used to be, and I got to put on what I ought to be. Getting rid of the old and getting into the new, it all hinges on verse 23. Look at verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your what? Mind. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, there were some women that had some issues with each other. They were quarreling. And here's what he instructed them. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Why? If you get the mind of Christ, you're going to act like him. Christ ain't going to fight over, this is my seat. This is not your seat. They didn't say hi to me. I'm mad at them. Can I get a witness on that? If you and I, listen, if we're going to be more like him, we need his mind on it. The more I think like him, the more I'll act like him. The more I think like I used to be, the more I'll be like I used to be. Amen? It's all got to do. How do you get brainwashed as a Christian? Right here. This, by the way, this is brainwashed in the holiest sense of the word. Amen? The proper brainwashing, no doubt about it. Amen? Here's how the process works. Would you turn with me for a moment to 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter number 5. We need this book to get into our hearts. I'm afraid there's too much seed just laying on the surface and never going deep enough. I'm afraid that a lot of times when we're under the Word of God, we're not really giving it the thought that we need to give to it. If you don't think about something, you're not chewing on it. Amen? And if you don't chew on something, it usually is not digested into your heart. Amen? Spiritually speaking. And we are in great need to make sure we receive the Word with meekness. That engrafted Word which is able to save our soul, deliver our lives. Amen? I want you to look with me. 1 Thessalonians. Here's how the process works. The process of sanctification, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I want you to look with me in verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. And the very God of peace, watch this now. Here's his prayer for the Thessalonians. Sanctify you what? Holy, completely, right? By the way, you can be sanctified on the outside. In other words, you look good. You look like you're wearing the right clothes or you're saying the right thing, but not be sanctified on the inside. Watch this now. May God sanctify you wholly. May you not just be looking the part and fitting in. May it be real. Watch this now. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Do you know what he just did? He started from the inside and made his way out. He said, I'm not praying for you to be sanctified outwardly and then make its way inwardly. I'm praying for it to be an inside job. Amen. True sanctification of God's people is an inside job. The Word of God gets inside your heart through your mind and it works. The Word of God is saying to you, this is what you ought to say. This is what you ought to do. This is what you ought to think. And your flesh is saying, I want to do the opposite. Folks, that's the battle, is it not? Or am I the only one that battles? The battle is, this is what I want to say. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to respond. This is how I want to act. But then the Word of God in my heart, by the Spirit of God, is telling me, this is the way, walk ye in it. There's the battle. I was preaching last week and I said, people better thank God I'm not God. Did you ever hold the door for somebody and they don't say thank you? And you get upset. Anybody get upset beside me? My wife calls me the manner police. The manner police. You ever go to a restaurant and the waiter is not the same one at the end that she was at the beginning? In the beginning, it's, well, what do you want? Can I have you? And it's just not there. At the end, she's bringing the check. She knows she's on her way for a day. Oh, you have a nice day now. So hold on a minute. This is a different person. This is a total different person. Can I get a witness on that? Or am I the only screwball around here? Folks, I'm battling at the table. I'm battling at the table. I don't want to ruin the opportunity to be a witness. I don't want, but that's my flesh. I'm battling. If you ain't battling, there's something wrong. Can I get a witness on that? Hey, the Spirit, and that's not the Holy Spirit, inside of you is your spirit, is willing. But your flesh, that's weak. There's the battle. God's Word in our heart is working on us, to telling us, instructing us. And when we do the opposite, we get convicted. And we say, God, forgive me. I knew I shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said that, whatever, whatever. And thank God for that process. But after a while, we start to get the victory. And instead of confessing I shouldn't have done that, we start to say, thank God for helping me not to do it. That's sanctification. But it's truly an inside job. When you go to church and you give no thought to what you're hearing, God can't do an inside job. You come in like you were, you leave as you were, you look good, you fit the part, but nothing's going on the inside. Something should always be going on in the inside if God's word is in there. I'm afraid that we've not listened to the instruction of Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen? We got to give the Holy Spirit ammunition to work in us. There are times I wish I didn't know some things. Amen? I wish I didn't know that was wrong. I'd like to say something. Amen? Let me tell you about this process of sanctification. It's not easy. It really isn't easy. But it's possible. Look at verse 24 in the context. Look at verse 24. I want you to see this, please. 5:24. Right after he talks about being sanctified, right? And so on. Here's what he says. Faithful is he that calleth you who also do it. God will help us to do the right thing. Amen. He'll not only tell us to do the right thing, but by his spirit and by his power and by his grace, we could actually do the right thing. Amen. Let me quote a verse for you. Psalm 37:31. Listen to this. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps shall not slide. Think about that. If his word is in my heart, I got a better chance of not sliding back. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We know we can't be sinless, is that correct? But we can sin less. His word has to be in there to work on us, to provoke us, to challenge us. That's the battle. Amen. That's the battle. Turn to Proverbs 4 if you would, please. And I am not going to get nowhere near done, but that's okay. As long as we get enough to understand. You know, I was encouraged one day as I began to think about, I don't develop three-point, they call them sugar sticks. A lot of evangelists do. I'm not that way. I mean, that's... Amen. I'm into the book, thank God. That's one of the reasons I like this church. You're into the book. That's why I have one sermon that will last a whole day. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord encouraged me one time because I thought, man, I can never really always get it all done like I'd like to. And sometimes I worry, am I going to say it the right way? And here's the encouragement the Lord said to me was, if people want it, you don't have to say it the right way for them to get it the right way. Amen. There are some people, by the way, what do they play that game? Pictionary, or, you know, how people, what was the game? Is it Pictionary? Charades, you know, they try to describe something, the other person's got to figure it out. And sometimes I feel that way preaching, you know what I mean? Saying this, saying that, and hopefully people say, oh, I got it, I got you, I got you. And that's it, as long as we get it. I want you to look with me, please, in Proverbs chapter number 4. Look at verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20. I'm saying we need, listen, you and I that are saved, the devil's not trying to keep us lost because we can't be lost no more. Amen? But let me tell you what he's doing. He's trying to keep the book from getting to our hearts lest we become the kind of Christians that make a difference. Amen? If God's word and God's spirit can get a hold of our hearts, there's no telling what God can do with our lives. And the devil says, I can't keep them unsaved because they're saved, but I'll try to keep them to where they make no difference in nobody's life. I don't want that. Look with me if you would. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, beginning of verse number 20. My son, here's the instructions of a father to his child, but in this I see one greater than Solomon. My son, attend to what? My words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Again, his words is an important thing. Look at verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine what? Heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Now here's a verse you've heard 1,000 times. Watch this now. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Pastor Pirate sings it. You've probably sung it, brother. Keep your heart with all diligence. The context is you got to work at keeping the word in there. Because the beginning, before he says keep your heart with all diligence, he says make sure you get God's word in the midst of it. His word in my heart is going to help me to get through this world without succumbing to the evil of it. Do everything you got. Give all diligence. Work on your garden. Keep the seed going in. Keep the water flowing in. Work on your heart. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Your decisions are going to come from your heart. And you got to make sure you make them with a right heart. Amen? How many people have made wrong decisions because their heart was wrong? And when they got right, they realized, oh my, what a mistake. Amen? I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. But I want you to note this about Proverbs chapter number 4. After he speaks about keeping your heart, he says in verse 24, put away from you froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. God's word in your heart will make a difference with your mouth. God gets a hold of your heart, you probably will say good things and not necessarily say bad things to people. I'm not just talking about cursing, I'm talking about maybe you'll edify somebody instead of discouraging them. Amen? Watch this now. Not only will your heart be affected by his word, your mouth affected by his word in your heart. Look at verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on and thine eyelids look straight before you. God's word in your heart will affect your eyes. Your eyes will not be able to gaze and look and meditate on the wrong things when his word's in your heart. His word will make a difference in your mouth and in your eyes. Look at verse number 26. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. His word in your heart will make a difference to where your feet take you. Amen. By the way, that's the process of sanctification. Look at verse number 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. God's word. If we can get God's word in our heart by reading, meditating, listening to good preach, get it in there, think about it, meditate. If we can keep it there, it'll make a difference in all of our living. And that's exactly what the Lord wants. Amen. Don't turn there. Jeremiah 20, verse 8 and 9. You know Jeremiah quit, right? Jeremiah was a prophet who quit. They say preachers quit every other Monday, but nonetheless, if you're in the Lord's business and you mean business, the devil really opposes that. There are some people in the Lord's business, it's not for the Lord, it's for themselves, and the devil's even blessing them. They fill stadiums, they fly planes. When you're in the business of the Lord and you mean business, the devil means business and usually opposes you tremendously. And the thought of quitting is there. Jeremiah quit. He said, I'm preaching the word against these people that are living wrong and they're persecuting me, they're mocking me. He said, I quit. I'm not going to mention his name no more. I'm done. He tried to walk away from the ministry. Here's his testimony. But his word was in my heart like a fire, and I couldn't even stay quit, if there's a statement like that. Can I get a witness on that? I couldn't even stay in the wrong place. I threw in the God's word did something in my heart and it moved me to do the right thing. That's what we need as God's people. His word in our hearts. If we could only remember the right word at the right time. Can I get a witness on that one? The example is Jesus Christ. Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Every temptation Jesus was received by the devil, he said, let me give you a verse on that one. It is written. Let me give you a verse on that one. It is written. Let me give you a verse. If I can only remember the right word at the right time. I close with this. In Numbers 15, 32 to 41. There was a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. They didn't know exactly what to do with them until the Lord would instruct Moses what to do with them. The Lord said he has to die. You remember, anybody recall that? Gathering sticks on the Sabbath, he has to die. We have to set the tone here. People have to understand the rules and so on. Right after that situation, do you know what the Lord instructed Moses to do? He said, tell the people to put fringes around the border of their garments and put the color blue, which is a picture of heaven. He says, these fringes, when they look upon them, are going to remind them of me and my word that they will keep them. I thought about that text. And I'm thinking to myself, hold on a minute. We got a man who was just bending down to the earth, to the world, to the ground, and he's picking up sticks. And he dies because he's doing wrong. We got the Lord giving instructions to put borders around right before that ground, right before that world, right before that earth. So when you're about ready to do what he did and you're tempted to do the wrong thing, maybe you'll see the fringes in the blue and remember God and heaven and this is wrong and don't do it and you won't die. Can I get a witness on that one? If I can only remember God and his word at the very time I'm about ready to do something that's going to not maybe take my life, but maybe ruin it. I call that fringe benefits. The benefits of the fringe. Let me bring it to today. If I can memorize this book, if I can remember as much as I can, the fringe benefits of remembering him and his word is life and life more abundant. God help us in this area of sanctification as his people. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, as we close the service, I thank you for your precious word. This book is not only valuable because it saves lost sinners like us. It's valuable because it changes, saves sinners like us. As the preacher, Lord, comes in a moment to close up however they close their services, I pray for your leading and your blessing. May our hearts be challenged as your people to get in the book. And I would even say to go further than that and to get the book in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's some things I heard today. The devil is not a Calvinist. I like that. But you know what? I wrote, but the devil is an Arminian. He would like to take your salvation away. I like that. John the Baptist is like a nightlight. Jesus Christ is the greater light. He must increase, I must decrease. I thought that was a weird thing. And then we know we are not sinless, but we can sin less. We can sin less. Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming and stepping in my shoes there. It was a real blessing. Real blessing. You can hear I'm messed up. I didn't know if I was going to even be able to talk or even be here. So I called him up and asked him if he could help me out. And he said, sure, what? So here he is. He'll be here tonight. Now, I'm going to close with a prayer, but I want to say something. I know, excuse me, I know that Kathy Kelly and Nancy were both in the emergency room, right? This weekend. And having some trouble there, so we want to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Anybody else with any real problem
right now? In the hospital.
Who? Shannon. Okay, you okay?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right. And let's see. Josh is back home, as far as I understand. And let's see. What else is there? Guess that's it. Got to pray for your preacher, Margo. Couldn't be here today. She said, I can't even stand up. Her back and her arthritis is so bad today. So she always lets me know why she's not here. And let's just close a word of prayer and go home. Get back. You know, you need to get back here. You know why? He's going to keep on preaching about this Bible. Something else on it tonight in a different theme. So come on out and get here. You need it. I need it. You need it. Preacher needs it. The world needs it. And you say, well, they're not here. Well, we're going to go out there, aren't we? We're not to be of it or like it, but we're going to go out there and be a witness to it. All right. Enough of that. Let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you for what you've done here this morning in the hearts of people. I thank you for those who raise their hands and pray that you would just really make it stick with them and then change them inside to the outside.
Yes.
Starting in the inside. All of us need it. And I thank you for the preacher you sent today. Bless him through the day and give him a good thoughts for tonight. And help us all to get back here somehow, some way, so that we can be blessed again by the precious, wonderful Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray for these ladies, these women, all of them today mentioned here, that you would just give them strength, healing in their bodies. Make them feel better. Give them mercy and grace for the day to get through some of the troubles and problems that they have. And if it be thy will to take care of it completely, that'd be fine with us. We watched you do that. And so give us a good day, a good afternoon.